churches that grow, churches that grow, healthy churches, those pieces. What is it that God's called us to be in this world? What is it that God wants us to be? And it comes from pressing in to Jesus. I was thinking too, as we sang that song, the same God, it reminded me of Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That same Jesus that talked to Abraham is the same Jesus that talks to us. The same one that leads us in places that we don't know where it's going to lead, but he says, trust me, do this. The same God that talked to people in the ship coming over to the North America, the same one they prayed to is the same God we pray to. The things that they look for, the things that they hope for, same things we look to, same things we hope for. And then we grow by connecting to divine, connecting to Jesus. As we looked at different aspects of that, what does that look like? We've looked at lots of different things, and I won't rehearse them again today, but I just, you can get some amazing preaching off 11and4square.com. You can go and listen, and you can watch the video or just the thing or just a pot, you know, just as you drive or whatever, to listen to those, because I believe that it wasn't just amazing things. It isn't about what I said, but I believe about the stuff that God laid on my heart for our church. Not just for you, but for me as well, as we navigate to become the churches, the church that God desired us to be. This Sunday, it seems appropriate with Thanksgiving week, but I want to talk about churches that grow are thankful to God. Churches that grow are thankful to God. When you think, I'm going to say a word here, and I want you to think about what comes to mind. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. What comes to mind? I was one of the trivia questions, if you watched it, was what is the average calorie count of Thanksgiving dinner? Did anybody see what that was? 4,500 calories. And just to give you a reference point, a young person calorie count, I think, is about 2,000.
For a full day.
For a full day. All your meals, when you wake up to when you go to bed, 2,000 count. And yet, how many would agree that you eat more than you should on Thanksgiving? Oh, there's a lot of healthy people here that didn't raise their hand. Well, God bless you, you liars. Oh, excuse me. It is just so good. It is so good to enjoy Thanksgiving. So we think of, right, turkey, right, ham, the second favorite meal of Thanksgiving. For me, I'm a cranberry sauce person. Do you like jelly? Do you like, what's the other kind called? Mushy?
No. Yeah.
Do you like jelly or mushy? I'm a jellied guy. Actually, I like them both. What I like, my cranberry sauce is mixed with jalapeno in it. Everybody's like, it is so good. You know, I always label it to make sure that the kids don't try that one. But it, you know, think about the gravy and the mashed potatoes and the green bean casserole. It's like, who's made that a staple? Somebody likes it. You think about stuffing. I'm a stuffing guy. I got a recipe, put out by Jimmy Dean sausage. Guess what it has in it? Sausage. But it is so good. It is so good. You know, think about Thanksgiving, this time to get together and family, all those things that we enjoy and eating together. When was the first Thanksgiving? When was the first Thanksgiving? Was it in 1565 when the Spanish explorer Pedro Menendez de Avila invited members of the local Timucua tribe to dinner in St. Augustine, Florida, to thank God for his crew's safe arrival to the new continent? Was it in December 4th of 1619 when 38 British settlers reached the banks of Virginia's James River and read a proclamation designating that date as a day of thanksgiving to Almighty God? Or was it in 1621 when Plymouth colonists celebrated their fall harvest a year after their arrival, which there was only, I understand, about 110 on the ship. And through that winter, only 50 of them or so survived. And yet in that fall, with the harvest, they could still celebrate God's provision. And we think about, you know, Thanksgiving, that holiday. I want to break that word down. I want to talk about thanksgiving today. Thanksgiving. To be thankful, right, is to appreciate what somebody has given you. To appreciate, to be thankful that maybe a relief of the situation. Thank you, Lord, there's still more money left at the end of the month. Thank you, Lord, that my car didn't break down. Thank you, Lord, for heat. Thank you, Lord. To be grateful, may a kindness of a person. Thankful that somebody gave you something that you desperately needed. We teach our kids to say what when we give them something? Thank you. Thank you for giving them something, for sharing something with them. Thank you. Hey, being thankful happens when you receive something. And it might be a little thing, right? And then you're a little bit thankful. It might be holding the door for somebody at the grocery store. It might allowing somebody to take your parking spot as you drive in and you get there at the same time and you just like, you say, take this front row one while I go to the last row. And they thank you. They thank you. It could be a big thing, like somebody comes and pays your rent. It gives you groceries or a repair to something to your car, your home that you couldn't afford. I would argue that celebrations are celebrations of thanksgiving. Think about the things we celebrate. Celebrate birthdays. Thank you, Lord, that I'm still alive. Thank you, Lord, for this great. And as a kid, we all know you're thanking people. You're thankful for cake and ice cream and presents. And think about retirement, right? Thank you for all these years of service. Thank you that I don't have to get up at the crack of dawn anymore. But weddings, a celebration of spouses. Like, oh my goodness, I found the love of my life. Celebrations that we come and say, thankful for. Veterans Day that we just have celebrated. Celebrated, thankful that of the soldiers who gave their lives for freedom, for other people, through bravery and courage. Thankful for them doing those things. Independence Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day. We even have a day called TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. Hump Day. And it gets ridiculous, right? I wonder, though, do all of these celebration of Thanksgiving honor God? Do those celebrations, whatever it is, birthdays, Hump Day, Veterans Day, do they honor God? And I would say it depends. It depends. Who are we giving thanks to? Who are we giving thanks to? We're just about ready to show you this year, celebrate Thanksgiving. And I think the percentage was how many don't celebrate Thanksgiving. And it was 12%. In the U.S. don't celebrate Thanksgiving. And the rest of us do. And maybe you're part of that 12%. We're part of the 78%, 88% that celebrate Thanksgiving. But even in that Thanksgiving celebration, as I talked about those conversations that happen around the table, what are we thankful for? What are we thankful for? Are we thankful for what we have? For the good fortune of the day? Or are we thankful for the fortune giver for giving us what we have? As we look at thankfulness, God calls his people, calls his children to be thankful. And you think about just the celebration of feasts in the Old Testament. Several of them were just Thanksgiving feasts that God called his children to celebrate. Of all the feasts that he celebrated, even the Sabbath, we think it was, you know, all about a day of rest. And it was. That's when God established it. But when he gave it to Moses as one of the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath, really, it was a day to celebrate their deliverance from slavery. And I think it's ironic. I think that as Sabbath was, as the new, as the church started, Sabbath became that day of celebration, became Sunday, because that's the day Jesus rose on. And I think as you and I come and celebrate, we come to church to celebrate Thanksgiving for freeing us from slavery. The slavery, you're like, I've never been a slave. The Bible talks about being a slave to sin, not being able to do something different. I would not, if Jesus hadn't freed me from slavery to sin, I would not be up here today. I don't know that if I would be alive. I don't know that I would be, I'd be doubtful that I'd still be married. And I can guarantee I would not have the relationship I have with my children that I do today. If Jesus hadn't, if God hadn't given me, freed me from slavery. So if I, as I come to Sundays, I'm just like, Lord, help me remember to be thankful for freeing me from slavery. And look at the other feasts that they had, a couple of feasts just celebrating harvest. God's provision. You know, it is a mystery. I have this strip out here of dirt that you see next to the sidewalk was where an old oak tree was. And we finally dug it out. They created the roots rotted, and it created great places to twist and break your ankle. In addition, it created a great place for yellow jackets to build a nest. And so I had a couple people mention to me, and then the Lord mentioned it to me, and I dealt with it. And so we got somebody with a backhoe and dug out those roots and that nest, and then leveled out the ground there, and then it's just a bunch of mud. So I went and got some grass seed, and I got my little whirligig and put some seed down. And now, what do I got to do? Maybe water it. But I don't do anything. God makes it grow. He's the one who makes it grow. And so to celebrate stuff we don't have any, very little process in, other than to give what God gives us, and then he brings the fruit of it. The celebration of thanksgiving. Psalms 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Say that with me. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those he gathered from the lands from the east and the west, from the north and the south. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Woo! Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Yes. We talked a few weeks ago about sharing our story, that churches that grow share their Jesus story, what it is that's going on. And it was just so cool to hear as you celebrate Thanksgiving. And I love what Nellie said, that I'm thankful for growing, to be thankful, to recognize something good that's happening and then thank God for it. Thank him for that. There's a world out there that sees good things that happen and doesn't know who to thank. They're thankful. They're thankful for a new relationship. They're thankful for God's provision. They're thankful for a raise. They're thankful for their kids. They're thankful for, you know, whatever. They're thankful. But who are they thankful for? God calls us to be thankful to who? To him. He is the one who's giving good things. I want to just share 7 observations about thankfulness. As we think about Thanksgiving, and I talk about churches that grow, thankfulness is got to be in our DNA. It has to be who you and I are as individuals, and it has to be who we are as a church, so that people can come in, and the person that you haven't seen, or maybe they've been here before, you meet them, that you're thankful that they're here. You're thankful that God brought them here. Every single one of you that's sitting here, every single person that's walked in this place is here because God's intended you to be here. I am thankful that God brought you here. I'm thankful that God brought me here. I never knew Lebanon Foursquare was even on the map. I moved to Albany in 1994, December of 1994. Didn't even know it. Lebanon was over where? In Israel. It wasn't the next town over from Albany. I didn't even know. God knew that I was going to call you not only to come to Lebanon, but to be a pastor. Thankfulness. Thankfulness requires humility. Because thankfulness recognizes that I have a need. You can't be thankful because we talked about all those things that we're thankful for, stuff we get. Thankfulness requires humility because I have a need and you provided something that I needed. It takes humility to be thankful, because what you're doing when you receive something from somebody, you're saying you're receiving something that feeds a need that you have. You have to say, I thank you. I needed that. Probably the most humbling thing, and I've shared this story before, but I was reminded as I was thinking about it, humility, was one year as I became a youth pastor and began to let go of my business and just juggling a small family, is we were short on grocery money, and we just knew it. It's just, you know, the cupboards are bare, you know, you got your beans and your rice and maybe some bread, and you're hoping for some meat, and it is what it is. You know, we weren't starving, but we didn't know where the next meals were coming for that week. And a single parent, mom, said, you know, Lord, talk to my heart, and I brought you some groceries when we were shopping for us. That was super hard. We needed it. But I looked at her, I'm thinking, gulp, you probably need this as much or more than we do. And it took humility for me to receive that and say, God provided this to me, to our family, through very humbling situations. Humility to recognize that you have a need, and it's humility to receive that thing. And sometimes it comes from people that you don't want to take it from because you don't want to admit that you got issues. We come in and say, hey, I've got it all together. You know, that's a big reason why we don't come up for prayer requests. We don't kind of share and say, oh man, my marriage sucks. Or I'm going to get fired. Or I'm on my fifth relationship. Or am I really, you know, it goes on and on. Those things that we're embarrassed to talk about. I got in trouble with alcohol. Every time I go, I think I'm just going to get a six pack and I drink the whole thing in 1 hour. I got problems. How many, aren't those praise things we come to the front of the church for? It's like, no, I don't want anybody to know. Thankfulness requires humility. Say, man, I got a need. I got a need. I just said, as I think about thankfulness, entitlement is the opposite of thankfulness. Because sometimes we come to situations and say, you know what? You need to give me that help. You got it. You need to give it to me. If you don't give me that, then you're sinning. Entitlement, saying that I deserve it, and you need to help me because it's your job. You're a Christian. Yeah, you have to forgive me. Sometimes we'd go that with God, right? I can do whatever I want. God's got to forgive me. I mean, he sent his son to die on the cross. That's entitlement. Instead of being thankful, if you're thankful, it will battle entitlement, thinking that you deserve something. Thankfulness. Thankfulness requires faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That thankfulness, that's why people, they can be thankful, but they can't be thankful to God. Because to be thankful to God, it means you believe there's a God. You believe that those blessings that you're experiencing came from him, not from your own doing or the lottery that you just like, oh man, we're just seeing what comes out of the lottery. I keep buying the ticket, and this is what I got. Without believing that God exists, it's impossible to thank him. We know from James 1:17, as we have faith, we believe that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. That the things we experience, good thing, there's only one designer of good things. That's God. Satan will take good things and mess with them. He will take a good thing, food. We talk about Thanksgiving and calorie. Food is a gift from the Lord. Our taste buds are a gift from the Lord. But what do? We overeat. We've taken something good and we've made something, an idol out of it, or done something bad with it. Thankfulness. Unless we believe that every good gift comes from heaven, we won't give thanksgiving to God for it. There's a lot of people that are thankful, but we need to be more aware that it comes from the Lord. I think about two distinct thankfulness is the blessings that we have, that we're giving, that God has given us more good things than we're aware of. Part of just thinking through things and say, okay, what is it that God's given me? I think I talk about my list of the requirements for the woman I was going to marry. I had a list. And Jackie met all of them. The challenge was, as we got married, there was a few things I would ask for that I forgot to ask for. It's like, I want a wife who just like thinks I'm amazing all the time. I want a wife who rises up and calls me blessed. I want a wife who submits to all of my ideas, even the bad ones. And I was like, not only a kid about those, but what God ended up giving me was stuff I didn't even know to ask for. The good things that I didn't even know that should have been on my list. In fact, they should have been number one and number two on my list. And they weren't, even in the top 10 that God blessed me with. That as I grow my relationship with the Lord, I'm like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thankfulness leads to love. Thankfulness leads to love. The more I am thankful to God, the more I love him. The more I love him. I think about, as you understand the sacrifice that somebody does for you and their thoughtfulness, the more you will appreciate them. The more you, it's like, wow, you actually thought of me? I heard you say that that thing was broken. And I tucked that away, and so we found one and I got it for you. It makes you appreciate it. Catherine Clarkson and Joseph Clark. Catherine's just battling some just sickness. You know, she's got some just some stuff going on that make it hard to come to church sometime, and so they're not here today. But I've known Catherine for a lot of years, but I continue to love her more. And that one of the things she did, I have at home a clock wall that says God is good all the time. And I love clocks. So I got probably, I don't know how many clocks, maybe 20 clocks on the wall. And I got to change them all. Actually, my Jackie helped me change all of them when the time changed. But she said she brought over a clock she found. And it was my latest addition. She said, I thought about you. And it's a clock that has math formulas at every number that calculate what time it is, you know, what number it is, you know, square root of 4, you know, that was the 2 o'clock. Okay, that's all the algebra I know. But it was, I was like, you thought of me. She goes, yeah, we were at a you know, a secondhand store, and there was a brand new one in a box, and I thought of you. I was like, it made me, I was thankful, and guess what? It made me love her more. And I think about those things as we know God more, as we understand what the gifts he's given us, it will lead to deeper love for him. And that sounds kind of weird, but I understand as I thought about this, like, you know, God, I am more in love with you than I was a year ago, 5 years ago. And that sounds kind of weird, but it's just like a deep love, you know, because we tend to think of love as romantic and mushy, but love is the kind that sacrifices for you, that cares about you, that thinks about you, that gives you those gifts that tickle your heart, that meet you where you are. And thankfulness leads to generosity. The more thankful I am for what God has given me, I'm like, I can't believe all this that I got. I got more than I need. You give it away. You're more generous because you're thankful. You're overwhelmed at God's blessings, what he's done for you. A thankfulness of heart. It changes how you are. As I thought about that, I thought about that when we looked at forgiveness, right? Where Jesus told that story about massive inequity and forgiveness. This guy forgave him, you know, 20 life years of work. And the guy went and got after somebody for days of work, the money that he owed him. It's like, that guy missed something. He obviously was not overwhelmed with thankfulness for what he got forgiven. If he had, he would have like, dude, I've got more in the bank than I ever would have. Sure, I forgive you a day's labor. I just got forgiven 20 years worth. It's like generosity to be able to share what we have because of all that God has given us. And thankfulness leads to grace. The more thankful we are, the less disappointments bother us. I know that I am, there's things that highlight trouble in my heart. One is, that could probably related, but I'd say the causes of them usually is stress. I become critical and not thankful. I start to focus on what I don't have and what I've got to do rather than what God's given me. And when I do that, my grace, my patience, my kindness just dries up. And I say, Lord, I gotta be thankful of the time you've given me to honor you, not to just make a longer checklist to do. That as I recognize and am thankful for what God's given me, that I become gracious. Things don't bother me. And when they do bother me, I know that I'm missing that thankfulness to God's grace with me. Thankfulness. Thankfulness builds up the church by recognizing God's work in believers as we celebrate, as we remind each other. That's why I have you guys share in the service, because it builds up us. It builds me up to hear that there's stuff going on in you. You're just not, you know, people, warm bodies, they just didn't have anything else to do, but there's stuff that's going on in you. As you share what you're thankful for, it encourages me. It reminds me of what I need to be thankful for. I love Paul was really good at giving thanksgiving for people. Paul the Apostle wrote a lot of the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians 1:4, he says, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. I always thank God for you because God's working in you. Ephesians 1, 15 and 16. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. In Colossians 1, verses 3 and 4, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love that you have for God's people. It's just that awareness is as we thank, that's what's important, that we recognize God's gift in people, that we see what it is that they bring to the table, no matter how small it is. We may think it's small, but I guarantee if you share that with them, it will be big. It will be big. It's like, oh, they already know that. And they probably hear it all the time. They need to hear what you're thankful for and who they are and what they bring to the table. Because as they do, it's one of those things, as we're thankful to each other, we both are encouraged. We're both built up. When we praise God for that work that he's doing in people, we affirm, we're giving thanksgiving to God for what he's done. When I count all the ways that God has blessed me, as we think of all those ways that we get to be thankful, God, what happens is we praise God. We praise God just like we did as I watched, you know, as we sang those songs, even though it was from a video. I could tell, I could see it in our faces and see in our response that we were like, yeah, God is good. Yeah, God is faithful. Yeah, I don't have much to give him, but what I have, I've given it to him with all my heart. Psalms 100 says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his courts, his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. We shout, we worship as we rehearse and thank the Lord for what he's done, for what he's done in our hearts, for what he's done in our soul. We give him thanks. It's not just something we say with our mouths, but it begins with an attitude of thanksgiving. It's both. We sometimes, you know, we praise. It's like, my heart's not there, oh, but I know this is the right thing. It's true. I'm not being a hypocrite, right? That I sing, God, you're amazing, when I don't feel like you're amazing. It doesn't change the fact. If I believe it's true, even if I don't feel like it, I'm pressing in to who God is to praise him for his goodness. And so I shout, I worship him. I count his blessings. I rehearse them. I share them. I recognize them. And then my attitude changes and it comes into line with that reality. Churches that grow are thankful to God. My question for us is, how's your thankfulness? How's your thankfulness? What are you thankful for? And who are you thankful to? How's your thankfulness? What are you thankful for? And who are you thankful to? Because I guarantee you, as you think through what you're thankful for, you will love God even more as you recognize that what you're thankful for comes from him. Comes from him. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you. Oh, Lord, I thank you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you that you're teaching me humility, that I need help. Lord, and where you send it from sometimes isn't where I want to get you the help from. Lord, but it's where you're sending help from. Lord, I ask that you would touch our hearts, Lord, that we would be humble and recognize, man, we got needs. We got needs that we didn't even know we have. Lord, but you want to fulfill them. You want to bless us, that you want to grow us. Lord, and as we recognize this, that we would turn our praise to you and say, God, this isn't just good luck. This isn't just a happenstance, but this is because of you that every good gift comes from you, God. Every good gift comes from you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. We shout your goodness. Would you shout your praise? Lord, we thank you. Lord, we shout your praise. Lord, you are a good God. You're an awesome God. We praise you, Father. We thank you.